Father, we thank you that you are God alone, that you're on your throne. No matter what's going on in our life, no matter what is happening, no matter what's taking place, God, you are there. And Lord, you never fail because you are God. We thank you for that. God, help us to remember that. Help us to focus on that and know that in our hearts and our lives. Every day, every moment. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We've been looking at the seven laws of the harvest coming out of Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, helping us understand that there are harvest laws that come out of those verses that help us understand how we are to live our lives and what we're supposed to do and how we are to live our lives. Today we come to the seventh law of the harvest, the last one. Some of you are going, thought we'd never get through with that, but we are. For 6 weeks, we've looked at these laws of the harvest, and there's a great joy in all pastors' hearts and all preachers to know. People sit week after week and hear what is being said. I've heard people during the week as I've met with people and different ones said, when you talk about that harvest and sowing and reaping, I've been thinking about that. Praise God. That's not me. That's God reminding you of thinking about what His Word says for us. There's great joy in all that. Let's read that in chapter 6, beginning there in the passage to help us understand verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap, because the one who sows to his flesh will reap corruption from the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So we must not get tired of doing good, for we know we will reap at the proper time if we do not give up. And I want us to go on and read verse 10. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity, we must work for the good of all, especially those who belong to the household of faith. Read a poem this week. It says this: if a turnip seed grows turnips, if a turnip seed grows turnips and greens grow spinach greens, if carrot seeds grow carrots and bean seeds bring up beans, if lettuce seeds grows lettuce and Brussels seeds grow sprouts, if pea seeds always bring up peas, then what goes in must come out. So kind words bring kindness, and bad words will grow sadness. Forgiving words will grow forgiveness. Glad words will grow gladness. So watch little seeds you plant and all you say and do. For whatever you sow is what you reap. Be proud of what you grew. Now, I hope you're proud of what you're growing, because we're all planting something. We all have opportunities to plant in God's kingdom. Sometimes they're positive things, sometimes negative things. But whatever we plant, it's so important, because God has told us that we're going to reap what we sow. Let me give you a quick overview of these seven laws just to kind of look at these quickly. Number one is considering. Considering. The law is we reap much we did not sow. We reap much we did not sow. So we must consider that. We get the benefit of what other people have done to bring us to the place where we're at. Now, we don't always get to be a part of something, but sometimes we get to reap the benefit of that. We in this church reap the benefit of those who've gone on before us, the pastors and the deacons and the leaders and those who over the years have been faithful to keep this church active and growing and going. And so right now we get to experience that. Someone in the future will get to experience what you plan and what you put into this church right now. And so it's important to understand that. One thing I look at is Awana. Awana started at our church several years before my wife and I came. Tim was instrumental. Tim and Christina, our youth pastor at the time, was instrumental in getting Awana started, because there was another church in town and they kind of dropped it and said, we don't want to do it anymore. And so they started that a couple of years before we came. And for the past 11 years, including those 2 or 3 years before, so for about 13 or 14 years, on Wednesday evenings, we've been reaching children with the gospel and children with the Word of God. Can you imagine How many kids? This past year, we enrolled about 90 kids on Wednesday night. So that means 90 kids got to hear the gospel and got to learn scripture. We started out with about 10. We used to have a little bitty group years ago, and it's grown. But that means that out of our school, out of our community, this church has been instrumental in planting seeds in those kids for all those years. Same way with Vacation Bible School, same way with Sunday School, same way with things. We do those things not just for us. We do it to benefit those who are going to come behind us in the future, for sure. So we consider that. The second thing is identifying. We identify when we realize the law too says we reap the same kind as we sow. That means whatever when we identify something, say, this is what I want, if we want to reap that, that's what we're going to have to sow. We don't plant an apple seed and expect to get bananas. And you don't plant hatred and expect to get love. You don't plant unforgiveness and expect to get forgiveness. You don't plant bitterness and expect to get joy. Those things do not come. You must plant and realize you're going to get the same kind. That's what that law says. The third law is waiting. Now, most of us don't like to wait on anything. We want instant. We want it now. We live in a very instant society. We think it ought to happen now. It shouldn't. We shouldn't wait. We stand at the microwave going, hurry up, you know. It takes 5 minutes to bake a potato in a microwave. Remember when you used to put them in the oven for an hour? Yeah. Now we sit there, come on, microwave. I'm going to go get me a bigger microwave next time. This 1,000 water, I'm going to get a 2,000 water where I just push the button and go, poof, and I got a potato. Yeah. We don't like to wait on anything. But the law says we reap in a different season than we sow. Just because we do something good today doesn't mean that it's going to come back to us today. It may be tomorrow. It may be next week. It may be next year. It may be years from now. But we must realize, we must remain faithful in reaping, knowing that God will provide the harvest in His time and in His way. The fourth thing is remembering that we reap more than what we sow. We reap more. We don't just plant a little bit to get a little bit. We plant so that we can get more. We plant so that we can increase the harvest. And we fertilize and we water and we take care of those things so that the harvest will grow. So whatever you plant into the kingdom of God, know this, God is the one who's the gardener and God will make it grow. And you may say, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? It makes all the difference in the world to those who are coming to Christ, those children out there who will never forget what it means to know the Word of God. They will never forget the Word of God. Hundreds upon hundreds of kids that have come through this church knowing that they have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to see some of that and we'll reap more. The law five is doing. God wants us to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving our own self. He says we reap in proportion as we sow. A little bit gets a little bit. More gets more. Law six says preserving. We reap a full harvest only if we persevere. If we persevere. The evil one comes to harvest its own. That means we've got to stick with it. We can't quit. You got to keep on keeping on. Now, God has different seasons for everybody. There's a different season in our life and a different place and a different time, but God says this, don't quit. Whatever you are, don't quit. Keep keeping on. That's important. We looked at that last week, but it's important that we keep on keeping on. Today, we look at Law 7, and it is the law of forgetting. We cannot do anything about last year's harvest, but we can do something about this year's harvest. The Law 7 gathers together in one and completes the entire picture, the laws of the harvest. We can't do anything about last year, but we can do something about this year and the next. You ever get locked into the past? You ever get locked into regret? You ever get locked into that feeling of I'm a failure? You ever get locked into, I just can't, whatever I do doesn't work? And that happens. The devil loves to lock us into our past. And the devil likes to remind us of our past. One thing I've always said is this: when the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. Amen? You just start saying, devil, you just get away from me, because I know where you're going. I know where God has prepared for you. Don't let yourself get locked into the past. It will paralyze you from doing anything in the future. Past accomplishments and past failures. Sometimes we get locked in on past accomplishments. We give, somebody says, give your testimony. And they go, I'm going to give my testimony. And they'll go, well, 27 years ago, this happened. I mean, what about happened this week? What about yesterday? What about recently? What has God done? Don't get locked in on something that happened a long time ago and be satisfied there. Because sometimes we can get satisfied with what happened way back when. And God says, I'm not through with you yet. We're going to keep on keeping on and get some things happening. And so then also don't get locked in on your failure. Sometimes we fail. Sometimes we fail. And we fail bitterly. And it's not good. And if you get locked in up on your failure, guess what happens? You will be paralyzed to do anything positive in the future. When I was a senior in high school, I had the opportunity to go to the state track meet, and I was a discus thrower at the state track meet. We got to the state track meet, and we got in there, and the coach says, okay, go throw this. I got up there, and I threw the disc, and I scratched. And scratch means you step out of the little circle they give you. Okay, well, I stepped out, but it didn't count. I went again. I scratched. I went again. I scratched. I was getting down to the end. I had six throws that I could throw. I got down to the end, and the coach ran over there and said, wait, let me tell you something. I talked to another coach. You need to move your feet together about 3 inches. I said, coach, we have been having track meets all year long, like 20 of them. And the last throw of my ever career, you're going to make me move my feet 3 inches is going to fix that. You think that's going to change things? He said, just do it. I said, but I failed. I tripped. I stepped out of the box. I stepped out of the circle. It's not going to work. I could have said that, but I didn't. I walked up there, put my feet 3 inches together. I spun around like a little ballerina, and I unleashed the biggest throw I ever made in my life, and I won the state championship. Yeah! I still got my medal somewhere. But I'm saying this, if we focus on the failure, I could have said, I threw 5 times and didn't do any good. But I did not focus on the failure. I focused on what was next. And that's what this law is all about. Quit focusing on the past and look to the future. God has a great plan for all of our lives. And He has a great method of doing it, and that is we stick to Him and focus on Him and realize that He is on the throne, and He is unchangeable, and He is unshakable, and He is unstoppable. And if we will focus on that instead of saying, I am changeable, I am shakable, I am stoppable, because you are. But greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. And when you know that, you can do all kind of mighty things in God's power and in God's strength. So what does He say here? Let's look at these things. First He says, let's go on. Let's move forward. Have you ever thought about time travel? Have you ever thought about maybe going back and fixing something and changing it and doing something different? You know, there's several shows and TV shows and different things that are out there, and movies where people go back and try to change things, you know, and try to mess up the future. And I think we would probably all mess it up if we did. You know, you go back, man, if I could just go back and change this, if I could just go back and fix that. Well, guess what? You can't. God's Word says, let's go on. Go on from here on. We can't correct things. What if we said, man, I'd love to go back to the Garden of Eden, and I'd love to grab old Eve by the arm and say, get away from that apple, Eve. You know what would happen if we did that? You wouldn't be here. You know that? You wouldn't be here. because the earth would already be full of people, because no one would die. There wouldn't be death. So you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't have a chance to do that. But we think, man, if I could just go fish, man, if I would have been Eve, I wouldn't have done that. No, 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 you would have done it too. You'd have done it. You'd have messed up. And then you go, then old poor Adam, listened to his wife, first thing, got himself in trouble for sure. But let's go on. Go on. We must look at from day. This seventh law says go on. We can't do anything about the past. We must go on. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says it this way. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Look what he says. Don't lay again those foundations. Have you ever come to God and say, oh, Lord, forgive me for doing this? And God says, okay, you're forgiven. Then the next day, oh, Lord, forgive me. And God says, forgive you for what? Well, you know. God says, no, I don't know. Because that's gone. God has wiped it out. You see, we keep bringing up things that God has forgiven us for. God has already cleansed us and taken care of those. Quit bringing up those sins that you've asked forgiveness and start praising God for His forgiveness. And when you start praising God for His forgiveness, now you're focusing on moving on, going on with your life. So how do we go on? How do we go on? The writer of Hebrews says, go on, reach unto God's word, and go on. How do we go on? We confess the sins of yesterday. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us from all. Cleanse us from all. He wipes it out. He takes it. It's gone. That's what God likes to do for us. And at any time we bring it up, we're bringing up something that God has already taken care of. It is gone. It is gone. Now, I've been guilty sometime of saying 1 John 1:9 is like the Christian's bar of soap that cleanses us. But that's wrong. For this verse is more than a bar of soap to cleanse your hand. It's revealed truth from the throne of God that He desires to forgive you of your past sins and failures. When I was a senior in high school, I took what was called an ambassador vigil as part of the Royal Ambassador Program. And I had to sit down and I got a notebook and I had to write out some sins in my life. I had to get an extra notebook. I started writing those things out. When I got through, we prayed and asked God to forgive one by one those things. Then I took that. We put it in a metal bucket and we poured a little lighter fluid in there and we burned it up. There was no way I could go back and retrieve what I had written on those pages. And there is no way you can go back and retrieve your sins once you've given them to God. Now the devil can try to bring them back, but they are gone. They are cleansed. They are burned up. They are no more. And you must realize that it will change your life when you realize that. It will change who you are when you realize that. And there are some of you sitting here today, preacher, you don't know what I've done. I don't want to know, because God already does. And He said, I can forgive you and I can cleanse you. Confess the sins of yesterday. Learn from your failures. Your tests are not to break you. They're to make you. They're to make us stronger. In doing that, we got to forget the past. Too many Christians live in the past. They fail to forgive and forget and move on to what God has for them without tomorrow coming. Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 3. Paul said, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Forgetting what's behind and straining what's ahead, moving forward. You don't get anything accomplished being in reverse. You got to be in forward. You got to keep moving forward in doing that. We go on in those areas. We also go on in prayer when we go on. What can you do about last year's harvest? Nothing. We can't do anything about what happened last year, but we can do something about this year and what's ahead. In Matthew 9, verse 35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and they were scattered like sheep with no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest and send out laborers into his harvest." The harvest is people. It's people. It is those around us. We talk about fruit and we talk about those things, but the harvest is people. Man, you go outside here and just watch the people pass by. You go to the grocery store. You go different places. Steve Green wrote a song a few years ago, said, "Every day they pass me by. I can see it in their eyes. Lonely people filled with care, headed who knows where." People need the Lord. And that's the harvest that he has for us. The harvest is plentiful. It's great. There are so many that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he also said there's urgency. There is urgency. When Jesus was speaking with the woman at the well, after the disciples had gone into town, he's speaking with the woman at the well, and as the disciples come back, he says, "Listen, the harvest is plenteous, but the workers are few." And then he said a little statement in there that sometimes missed. He said, the harvest is white unto harvest. It's white unto harvest. I always wonder what that meant. What does that mean? What does it mean, white unto harvest? Till I lived in an area where they grew a lot of wheat. When you grow a lot of wheat in some areas, I had some guys in my church in Seymour, Texas, and couple of brothers, I said, "How much wheat y'all growing this year?" They said, "I don't know, probably about 30,000 acres. Those of you who are farmers understand that. And I got to talking to them about the wheat. When wheat gets ripe, it changes from a golden brown and it starts turning white. What that means is you got to get it. Because if you don't get it out of the field, when it turns white, it's going to rot and fall off and it's no good. Jesus told the disciples, "Listen, the fields are white unto harvest. They're past ripe. They are ready. And if we don't get them, folks, it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late." We got to share the gospel. We got to reach people. Prayer gets us ready for that. We pray and say, "God," because Jesus himself said, "Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. Pray for others. Pray for helpers. Pray for people to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ." Then he says, let us go on in commitment. The harvest calls for a commitment. Jesus was committed to dying so that he could bring the harvest. What are you committed to? Jesus doesn't want us to die. He wants us to live. Live for him, for sure. In John 12, verse 24, it says this, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground, it dies. It remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Sometimes we've got to die to ourselves so we can live for God. We've got to say to him, "Lord, I take up my cross." And that cross is not a burden we bear. That cross is a symbol of death. And when we have a symbol of death, we say, "I am dying to me, for I'm going to live for you," whatever that means. Different seasons, different times, different ways, but whatever it is, we must do it for God's glory and God's plan in doing that. Paul, again, in Philippians, said in chapter 3, verse 14, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this in mind. If anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this to you. He said, have the mind of Christ and press on. Press on. When the going gets tough, press on. When it gets hard, press on. What does that mean? Look at these things I put up here. Forcing myself to do the last thing I want to do. But I don't want to, God. God says, I don't care. Pressing on means doing it whether you like it or not. Moving forward. Push myself when I want to quit. Say, it was too often it was like, God, I want to quit. I want to give up. And God says, no, don't give up. Push yourself. To stop when I want to go. To share my faith when inadequacy prevails. To let God take control of the uncontrollable. To learn to submit. To always consider the consequences. To search for something that is not always easy to find. Giving up what I want for what God wants. Walking forward into a sometimes blurry future. To get up, walk on, and persevere when all I want to do is rest. To find joy that can't be stolen. To be used by God for His great work. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For if we sow to the flesh, we will reap the flesh, reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will reap to the Spirit everlasting life. What does that say to us? Keep on keeping on. This law says, don't quit. You can't do anything about what's in the past, but you can do something about what's in the future. Change direction. Refocus, do whatever you have to do, but keep on keeping on. For God has a plan for your life. And the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Father, I pray that, Lord, that you help us not to be focused on the past and not to get locked into the past, but, Lord, look at the future and, Lord, be diligent about what you've called us to do. Thank you for blessings, Lord. Thank you for strength as we serve you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.